Over the last more than 2,000 years, there has been many, many wonderful and intense moves of God's Spirit upon the earth. There has been much revelation. There has been much unveiling of God's restoration of His Word in the midst of His people. And seems like you can go back and trace each one of these moves of God and each one of these revelations that just as soon as man gets a hold of it, he gets his tablet of stone and he begins to write out in concrete his beliefs and declares that that's all there is. But in the midst of all of that, as the hammer begins to fall upon the chisel, there is a people that God has predestined in every age before the foundation of the earth, that He has placed within a teachable heart and a hearing ear, that have allowed the Word of God to be written upon the flesh table of their hearts, and they have begun to walk even as man puts his beliefs in stone in a fresh and a new revelation. And so it is in this hour that God has a people that refuses to write anything in stone, but a people who have a teachable heart, a people who have left sin consciousness, a people who have entered into the presence and the joy of the Lord. And we know that this natural body of ours is grounded to this earth, but we also know that we can fly in the Spirit. We are the sons of God, and you can never become what you already are. You know, it's important in this hour that we begin to pay attention to what God says concerning us. In Isaiah 40 and 31, He says, "But they that wait," the word wait there is to wait, to look for, to hope, to expect, to look eagerly or to linger for. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." We may be confined because of this physical body, but Jesus says you're in the world and you're not of the world. And in our spirit, God is teaching us that there is no limit to how high we can ascend in the spirit realm and in the heavenlies. We are not bound by this natural body. We can fly. And in Jeremiah 1 and verse 5, He said, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. And I ordained you a prophet unto the nations." Think of that statement. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. God's predestination and His destiny for each of us was planned before the foundation of the earth. Psalms 119:73, "Your hands have made me and have fashioned me, gave me understanding that I may learn thy commandments." And the very familiar one that we all know, Ephesians 1 and verse 4, "According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Him, according to the good pleasure of His will." He knew us before we were born. If you go to a doctor today and you want to find out if your father is your father, you have your DNA checked, and you can find out that your DNA matches your father and that's who you are. Well, if there is such a way as being able to check your spiritual DNA, it would show that God is your father. That you are an offspring from God. And what does that mean? When you're an offspring from your father, you're like your father. You have the traits of your father, many times the physical appearances. The same with God. I believe that for so often, we have been bound by the teachings of man that have taught us that everything that God has promised us is somewhere out there in the future. Everything has been relegated to a future date. One day. But beloved, I'm telling you this morning that God says today. God is telling us that today you are the Son of God. Today you are created and formed and fashioned in His image. You are His child. Man looks at the outward appearance. That's what Samuel said. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So much time is expended on trying to make this outward, natural body pleasing to God. And beloved, it's not going to happen. I don't care how much you grunt and how much you stress over it and whatever you do, this body was fashioned and formed out of the dust of the earth. And it is the Adamic body that will not change until we put on that incorruptible and that mortality. And so therefore what God is doing in this hour is in the realm of the Spirit. And there is no limitations in the realm of the Spirit. Man wants to see. That's why they wanted to see God. They wanted Jesus to give them a sign. They wanted God, Jesus, to show them something. And ever since, man has had a problem with wanting to see. When the Bible tells us that it's by faith, that it's by trust in Him, it's not what I see, it's what I be. It's what God has declared that I am. And that I am is that I am His Son, here and now. And I have a spirit that is not limited by the physical being of this world, that can soar into the heavenlies. And in Colossians 1 and 21, it said, tells us that you who were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Think about that now. Think about it. What is the reality? That the only place that man has ever been separated from God is in his stinking thinking. Is in that thing that is between your two ears. Why? Because you've been taught ever since you were a child that there's a God who is out there to get you. He's out here to get you. If you don't do this and you don't do that and you don't conform to what man says, God's going to get you. But the Bible says that God is love. You want a definition of God, of love? Look at God. God is love. He was willing to send His uniquely begotten Son to die and to pay the price for all humanity. And in the second verse, 22, he says that in the body of His flesh, through death, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. Hallelujah. God will present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. It's in your spirit. It's not this flesh and blood. He's made provision for that. And that's going to happen. But right now, God is telling us who we are. We're not limited to what man says about us. We're not limited to His tables of stone that He's written all of His beliefs in. But we can soar in the Spirit. And then in 1 John 2:20, He says, "But you have an unction." And that word "have" means to hold, to own, and to possess. If you read the Word of God, and I believe that we need to start looking at this, at what God has already declared concerning us that we have in this hour. We're not limited by man. We're not limited by gravity. We're not limited by the things of this world. He says, "You have." That means you hold it. You have it. You own it. You possess it. You have it now. Why is God saying that? Because I'm going to tell you, when the day when God unveils His sons in the earth, there is not going to be no big I and little you. Every part, every member of that corporate son that is unveiled in the earth is going to be a minister to creation. Did you hear me? You say, "Oh, I can't talk." You don't have to talk. You have an unction. That word "unction" is anointing, or anything that is smeared on, an ointment. You have an anointing from God, from the Holy Spirit, and He says, "And you know all things." You know, somewhere in the birthing process, we came out from God. Somewhere in that process and in growing up, we forgot where we came from. Royce Kennedy sang that song, "The throne room is the same as it was when I left." Think about that. You see, we forgot where we came from. But God dwells in us. Jesus told His disciples one time, He says, "When you stand to think, don't take no thought of what you'll say, for the Holy Spirit will give it to you in that hour." You see, we have been so concerned about being religiously correct that we have lost touch with the reality of an anointing that is upon our lives. An anointing that each one has. As I used to hear an old Pentecostal minister say, "Can up your can'ts and open up your cans." You know, do away with "I can't" and become "I can." If God has anointed you to do a work, such as a part of the manifested sons of God, you don't have to worry. When that time comes, that word will come forth out of the midst of you. Because it's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is a yielded vessel in the hands of an Almighty God that has brought forth a people to deliver creation. And what God has proposed in His heart to do, He's going to do. It's going to be accomplished the way that He said that it would be accomplished. He said, "And you shall know," and that word "know" means to understand, to perceive, to experience, to learn, to be acquainted with. "You shall know all things." You see, what did I say there in the beginning? That you can never become what you already are. God is showing us in this hour what we already are. The Amplified, that verse in 1 John 2:20 says, "But you have an anointing by you hold a sacred appointment from, you have been given an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things, the truth, or you know all things. You have a sacred appointment. God is not somewhere out in the yonder, blue yonder. We are His dwelling place. Hallelujah. His presence, if we can walk in His presence, God is teaching the people, or bringing the people into the place to be able to walk in the Spirit, in that anointing, in the presence of the Lord. He's there all the time. Whether you sense it, whether you know it, whether you feel it, it doesn't matter. Faith says He's there. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere present. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. And He dwells in us. God dwells in us. We are His dwelling place. And you have an anointing. You have a sacred appointment. You have been given an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You know the truth. And in 1 John 2:27, he says, "But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him." The word abide means to remain, to continue to be present, to not perish, to last, to endure, to dwell within. And the Amplified version of that says, "But as for you, the anointing, the sacred appointment, the unction which you have received from Him abides permanently in you." Doesn't go and come. When you get up on Monday morning and you don't feel like you've got anything, that anointing is still there. Right. Hallelujah. That presence of God is still there. Whether you feel it or not, it's still there. It's permanently in you. "So then you have no need that anyone should instruct you. But just as His anointing teaches you concerning everything, and is truth, and is no falsehood, so you must abide in, live in, never depart from Him, being rooted in Him, knit to Him, just as His anointing has taught you to do." That anointing is in you. God is love. Love is just like our nature to us. You know, we're not eaten at the tree of good and evil. We're eaten from the tree of life. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly." Life. For years, man has taught nothing but death, and preparing for death, and fear of God, and hell, and brimstone, and God's people have lived in fear of a God that is supposed to be love. But that is the essence of who He is. He is love, and that is the essence of who we are. And any change that takes place on the outside of us comes from within, where we dwelling in His presence, or His Word becomes Spirit and life, has changed us. And if no change comes from God, there's nothing you can do. I mean, man has been ready to throw out anybody that don't do like they do. And beloved, I'm here to tell you that God does not look at the outward appearance. He looks at that which is within. He knows that which was within. And he says that anointing, that presence, that charisma that you have is from within. Because you're his son. You are his offspring. You are as he is in the earth today. And it doesn't go and come. It's a permanent dwelling, hallelujah, within the midst of us. God's preparing a people that come to the place where they know who they are. Eternity dwells within you and I. Eternity dwells within us. Everything that we need is within us. It dwells within us. The truth is within us. God's given us a teachable heart, a hearing ear, and we know the voice of the Father as He speaks to us and speaks within us. We hear that voice, and it comes with peace. There's no confusion in Him. And we walk on from revelation to revelation with no condemnation within us. Beloved, there can be no condemnation in God. Jesus taught us that. In Colossians 2:10, He says, "And you're complete in Him." That's a simple statement. You know, we so overlook the simple things of what the Word of God says. When Jesus came, His teachings were simple and were understandable. And when man begins to try to complicate them, they get out of the will of God. But the Word says, "You are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. You're made full and come to the fullness of life in Christ. You two are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reached full spiritual stature. And He is the head of all rule and authority, of every angelic principality and power." You have reached the full spiritual stature. You know, when Stacy Wood was here, a lot of times he'd say that we were perfect. He'd say, "You're perfect." A lot of people didn't understand that. He weren't talking because the reason they didn't understand it is because man has been taught all his life that the Christian is supposed to look like a Christian. You know, you're supposed to wear and not smoke and not drink and not go to places and all of this do nots. And if you do not those things, it didn't matter if you talked about your neighbor. It didn't matter if the church split wide open because you disagreed. Those things didn't matter. But the do's and the don'ts of the Christian life. And if you didn't measure up to those, you weren't a child of God. God's junked those things out the door. That's not a part of what He's doing today. God looks at that inward spirit. And it says, "You're complete in Him. And you've reached full spiritual maturity." Stacy was talking about the fact that your spirit, which came out from God, is perfect. Hallelujah. Your spirit is perfect. Man has trouble receiving that because he's looking at the outward. But listen, the anointing is from within. Everything that he does, the birthing into the kingdom of God is from within. It's all of that that dwells within us. He says, "And you're complete in Him, and you've reached full maturity stature." Jesus said it is finished. But the thing about it is that as we are here in this life, we are walking out that God has already declared against upon us. And who we are. There's no work in it. You're just walking it out. If you're trying to labor to be acceptable in the kingdom of God, something's wrong. Gee, the Word says that we must enter into His rest. That God has ceased from His labor. We must cease from our labor of trying to please God. And be. And that being is living out of the Spirit that dwells within us. And come into the full understanding that we have reached full maturity, that we have come to the full stature, that we have it. Now, it's just a matter of walking out what God has said about us. And see, when God brings these things to our mind and tells us, like, that you have now the unction or the anointing, He's saying, child of God, look at it. Take a look at that, and we believe into that God is saying. That word must become life within us. And it won't do it just by me sitting here teaching or preaching or saying it. But that word becomes life within us as we meditate upon it. As we ponder it. As we mull over that word within us. As we come into His presence and think upon and meditate upon that word. I have an anointing. Hallelujah. I have an anointing. Bless God. I am now a child of God. I am not rooted by gravity to this earth. My spirit can soar on the wings of the eagles in the heavenlies. And I can behold the unveiling of the revelation of Jesus Christ in the midst of me. Because I, as I see Him, I am transformed into His likeness and into His presence. I am what I am. Not because of anything that I have done, but it's all because of what God did before the foundation of the world. When He chose us in Himself and predestinated us as sons, that for this day, this hour, we are a part of His divine appointment in the earth in this hour. That I am like Him because my spirit came out from Him. I am His child. I am His son now. I have been accepted in the Beloved. Hallelujah. All sin has been put as far as the east is from the west. And I have an anointing from my Father that will flow out from me into creation to set creation free. There's no work there. I have entered into His rest. I have ceased from my labors. And I have entered into His rest. And therefore, now, hallelujah, I have peace. Glory to God, I have joy. I am filled to overflowing with love. Because He is love, and as He is, I am. And that love is becoming a river that is going to flow out from me into creation to show them who their God really is. The reality of God in the midst of a people. I am as He is. I am complete in Him, because He created me in His likeness and in His image. And now His word of revelation is unveiling in the midst of me to allow me to see Him as He is. I walk and I live with no fear because I know who I am. That's not being proud, nor is it being boastful. That's just declaring what the Father has already said about me. And in 1 Corinthians 1:30, He says, "But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You know, I believe that these are exciting days. I honestly, with all my heart, believe that we are beginning to hear that trumpet sound, which is signaling a message. Whenever a trumpet sounded, it was a message that went out into Israel. We're hearing that trumpet sound. We're entering into that day, the days of tabernacles. And beloved, God says, "Him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches." Man will say, "Well, it don't agree with what I believe." It doesn't matter whether it agrees with what man teaches or not. If God says it, that settles it, and it's over with. And He is our Father, and He is our Lord. And we just praise and thank Him for this time that we've had together. Amen.